Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine Podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jenna the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, Geek Beardly, and Scoop Face for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And I am going to be appearing at Command Fest Bellevue 2022 next week in Bellevue, Washington. If you're there, make sure to say hi, get a picture, got some awesome custom human tokens, and I will be cosplaying on Saturday. So if you're going to be in Bellevue next weekend, definitely make sure to say hi. Today's episode of the podcast is going to be a little bit of a departure from the usual subject matter, but something that I really think the listeners out there will hopefully enjoy. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's episode guest, someone I met down at DreamHack Dallas. I'd like to introduce to you today, the one Jame. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I was awesome meeting you there at DreamHack.
It definitely was. It was a good time. But yeah, before we get started here on our topic today, would you like to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about the content that you create?
Yeah, my name is The One Jame, and I am a primarily standard best of one YouTuber and Twitch streamer. I do a new video every single day on YouTube and Twitch, and stream on Twitch every single day, primarily focusing on standard best of one. But today, we're talking about Explorer, and I've played a lot of Explorer. I've played a lot of Pioneer, past formats, Modern, things like that. But I've also played a lot of things on Arena, and I only basically play Arena for my content. I play a lot of Commander as well, but that's not in my own content, but I play a lot of Commander on other people's streams. I just went to Boston to play some Commander for a charity event with Veggie Wagon, someone that you've had on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. So I play a lot of things. I have my hand into a bunch of pockets, if you will, and wear a lot of hats, if you will. But I primarily play standard best of one, but I love Explorer. Explorer is basically the format that I play when I'm not on stream, or the format that I play that where I'm not making a YouTube video. It's kind of the format that I go to on Arena that I just want to chill and play a deck that I like and play some Magic.
For sure. So I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there are wondering, what exactly is the Explorer format? Obviously, if you're like me and you don't play the online digital clients, MTG Arena or MTGO, this is a format that we just don't have in paper. So what exactly is Explorer, and how does it differ from the other formats that are available?
Explorer is basically I would say it's a precursor to what Pioneer will be on Arena. It's a precursor right now, but it will eventually become Pioneer on Arena. We'll be getting Explorer anthologies and Explorer add-ons into the format on Arena that will eventually be every card or every card that matters from Pioneer just on Arena. So you could think of it as just Pioneer on Arena. But there's a lot of cards that are in Pioneer that are not on Arena yet, and those cards are still not on Arena. So Explorer is a format without those cards, but it's going to be get closer and closer and closer as time goes by to actual Pioneer once we get the cards into the format on Arena.
Okay. So now that we've defined exactly what Explorer is, could you walk us through some of the top meta decks or even just the decks that you play and just kind of give us a bit of an insight into this format?
Before I go into the deck that I personally play, I honestly think it's like the best deck in Explorer, but it's not the most played deck. According to MTG Goldfish here, that there is a lot of decks that you can play in Explorer, and they're all pretty fun. It's a very diverse format. I would say it's probably the most diverse format that I've played in a long time. And Standard's pretty diverse right now, but talking about Explorer, at 4.2% of the meta, it's a Jund Fight Rigging. If you haven't seen the Fight Rigging card before, it's a 3-mana enchantment that at the beginning of combat put a +1/+1 counter on a creature you control, and then if you have a creature with power 7 or greater on your battlefield, or if that creature's power 7 or greater, you get to cast the Hideaway card without paying its mana cost. When it enters the battlefield, you look at the top five and Hideaway. You're familiar with the Hideaway lands in Commander, I'm sure.
Yeah,
But this is a Hideaway card in an enchantment, and you get to cast that card without paying its mana cost. So what people are doing, either in Jund with casting Valky, so you can cast the other side of Valky for free, which is Tobalt, so you get a 7-mana card for free. If you have a creature with 7 power or greater on the battlefield at the start of combat. So decks like this deck plays cards like Shakedown Heavy that has 6 power, put a +1/+1 counter, it goes to 7 power. Plays Reservoir Kraken with 6 power. A lot of things with 6 power. Elder Gargaroth, Vorinclex Monstrous Raider, in order to trigger the fight rigging. To cast really huge spells off the top. And what the Jund one does is of course, look to cast that huge Planeswalker or cast another huge spell, like the Great Henge or something like that. And there's another ultimatum deck that is a Sultai ultimatum deck that, of course, plays that Reservoir Kraken, which is blue, but it primarily looks to cast Emergent Ultimatum. If you've played, you might have not seen this in Commander, but it's a 7-mana triple green, double black, double blue spell sorcery that lets you search your library for up to 3 monocolored cards with different names and exile them. Your opponent chooses one for you not to cast, and you cast the other two without paying their mana cost. So it's a crazy card that lets you cast a lot of things like Vorinclex, Liliana, Dreadhorde General at the same time, so that Vorinclex doubles the counters, the loyalty counters on Liliana.
Ooh, that's
gross.
You
can ultimate it right away. Yeah, so it's -9 as each opponent chooses a permanent they control of each permanent type and sacrifices the rest. So you can do that. You can ultimate that, so they have to sacrifice everything and lose the game. Vorinclex can pair with Kior, Best of Sea God, to create an 8/8 blue Kraken hexproof and tap all of your opponent's permanents, including lands, and they don't untap on the next turn, so you just win the game. So it's basically looking to win the game on turn. It can do it as early as turn 3, sometimes turn 4, where you can go turn 1 Llanowar Elves, turn 2 Fight Rigging, turn 3 trigger the Fight Rigging with a card like Shakedown Heavy, and cast that Emergent Ultimatum on turn 3 of the game. So it's kind of like a combo deck, but can sometimes be just a stompy deck with beating up your opponents with 6/6s and 7/7s. So that's a very, very popular deck in the Explorer format.
Yeah, and I will be putting a list to this MTG Goldfish page for Explorer in the episode description if you're interested in checking some of these deck lists out for yourself.
Yeah, moving on to another deck that's extremely popular, for good reason. It's very good. It's Angels. Mono white Angels with Collected Company, and it's splashing a little bit of black for certain cards like Vito, Thorn of the Dusk Rose, a card that is used in Commander and pairs with it. It turns into a little bit of a combo.
Oh yes, I'm well aware of Vito.
Yeah, this deck doesn't have Exquisite Blood in it, but it does have a lot of Angels, life gain synergies. We have Speaker of the Heavens that gains life, Giada, one of the new cards that came out in Streets of New Capenna, the Angel that is a really good Angels commander. That is paired with a bunch of Angels, and you're looking to overwhelm your opponent with creatures, gain a bunch of life to where your opponent can never beat you, and have interaction in the form of Skyclave Apparition, Elite Spellbinder to look at cards in your opponent's hand, or exile permanents that you don't want to be there, and splashing that bit of green for Collected Company. If you don't know what Collected Company is, it's very, very strong. You look at the top 6 cards of your library and put up to 2 creatures with converted mana cost 3 or less and just put them on the battlefield. And then you put the rest on the bottom in any order. But it allows you to get those a bunch of creatures on the battlefield for basically like a 6-mana of worth of creatures for 4 mana at instant speed is very, very strong. And then in the sideboard of that, because you're playing black in there for Vito, Thorn of the Dusk Rose, it allows you to play Thoughtseize and Silverquill Silencer and D-Spark and different forms of interaction there. This deck is going to gain a bunch of life and put a bunch of creatures on the battlefield, and if you can't get rid of them fast enough, it will overwhelm you.
Yeah, definitely seems like the kind of deck that someone who kind of likes a nice grindy mid-range game would really enjoy. And can I just say that Vito has been a thorn in my side on more than one occasion? So, there we go. I just could not, I could not have Vito on or talk about Vito on this podcast without making a really bad joke. So there we are. I can retire happy now, right?
Yeah. This actually is less of mid range because you don't, maybe in the sideboard you play a bunch like some removal spells and some Thoughtseize, but you really just want to linear your opponent out in game one if you're playing best of three. You want that one drop, two drop, three drop, four drop, and then your opponent will just die from those angels.
Yeah. I guess this kind of, you know, as a commander player, seasoned commander player, this feels kind of like it has that mid-range type shell. It's like, it's not quite combo. It's not quite tempo. It's just like a really good mid-range kind of build where you're able to like build value and snowball out of control after a while.
We will definitely get to some of the best mid-range decks in the format. That's a little bit later in the podcast here. This is probably considered an aggro deck.
Okay, that is fair. That is fair.
Let's go ahead and go over to the an aggro deck that does it even better than Angels, but probably can't beat Angels, is Burn. This is more of your mono red, finish the match as fast as possible deck. This is... it has 4, 8, 12, 16 one-mana cards. Fanatical Firebrand, D2 Lava Runner, Play with Fire, Shock, a bunch of burn spells, creatures that you can get on the battlefield super early. The game plan is to kill your opponent as fast as possible and waste a lot of cards doing so. You'll empty your hand pretty quickly, but if your opponent is at zero life with 5 cards in hand, it doesn't matter how many cards you have in your hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of ways to burn your opponent. Cemetery Gatekeeper to deal 2 damage every time they play the corresponding card that you exile from a graveyard. Lightning Strike for more burn. That's 3 damage instant speed card. Light up the stage for some card advantage. And then everything else in the deck is just burn spells. Skewer the Critics deals 3 damage. Wizard's Lightning deals 3 damage. And then, if you're the type of person that just loves to get your opponent dead as fast as possible, this is the deck to do so.
And you're also not afraid to have to go to game 3 once your opponent's sideboard in 8 cards against you.
Oh, right. Yeah, you'll definitely go to game 3 on the play and destroy them.
Yeah.
Where this deck does fall is to the decks that gain a bunch of life, because you can definitely Lightning Strike them for 3 damage, but not if they gained 8 life in a turn with that Angel deck that we just went over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's always the problem with Mono Red Burn, but again, the fact that it's extremely viable in virtually all formats demonstrates that it's still doing something right.
Oh, definitely. Basically, in Historic, you might have to have a way to gain life at some time in the game, because Mono Red is a deck that you could play against. So you'll see a lot of decks in Explorer incidentally have some ways to gain life.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the next deck here, we have Blue White Yorion. It has a little bit of black in there for like a little Esper flavor. Blue White Control is one of the most popular archetypes in Explorer and Pioneer as well. And a lot of the cards that are in actual Pioneer in paper, it translates over pretty well into Explorer. We have Yorion Sky Nomad. If you're a Commander player, you definitely know how good that card is. But it does play that as a companion, so we're playing 80 cards here. We have a lot of Planeswalkers with Narset, Parter of Veils. That card probably gives you chills. We have Wandering Emperor, Teferi, Hero of Dominaria. And it's just a pack full of removal spells and counter spells. And remember what I talked about? A little bit of life gain? This deck plays 4 Absorb, which is a counter spell that gains you 3 life after it counters the spell. There is also some ways to gain life in the sideboard as well, with a copy of Dream Trawler. If you haven't seen that card before, it is a 6-mana 3/5 flying lifelink that draws a card whenever it attacks and gets +1/+0 whenever you draw a card. And you can discard a card and tap it to give it hexproof. So very hard to get rid of once it does enter the battlefield. There's an Oath of Kaya in here as well. It's a 3-mana enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, you deal 3 damage to any target and gain 3 life. So a lot of incidental ways to gain life. Omen of the Sun... here that some people play, not in this specific deck list, but it does gain life and make 2/1s for you to blink them with the Yorion trigger. So this deck is just looking to super hard control your opponent. If you like telling your opponent no, this is definitely the deck for you. This translates very well over into Pioneer, but we'll eventually, like I said before, get some most of the Pioneer cards that matter into Explorer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We can now move on to my deck that I play in Explorer. Not this isn't my specific deck list, but it's I think it's the best deck in Explorer. It's Rakdos Midrange. Okay. This is the most midrange you can possibly get in this format. It plays a lot of value creatures. Almost every card in this deck interacts with your opponent in some type of way, whether it's exiling the graveyard, removing their creatures, hitting their hand with some kind of discard spell. This deck is designed to just put on pressure while also making sure your opponent doesn't get to play the game. Sometimes this deck can kill your opponent really fast with a 2-mana Blood Tithe Harvester into a 3-mana Bone Crusher Giant or a Graveyard Trespasser with a big Planeswalker on turn 4. So you can really curve out at 2, 3, 4 and kill your opponent on turn 5 or 6 of the game if you're playing against a control deck like that Esper Blue-White Control Yorian deck that we played before. This deck is the aggro deck in that matchup. But the cool thing about a mid-range deck is that this deck can be the control deck in a mono against the mono-red deck we talked about or against the Angels Company deck that we talked about, Collected Company deck. Mm-hmm. This deck will take a different role based on what deck it's playing against, and it's really good at every single role that it takes. There's a lot of removal spells and a lot of creatures. The only time that this deck would see a problem is that if it's playing against that Angels deck and they're amassing a really big board, but the cards that you've drawn in the Rakdos midrange deck would have been really good if you were just playing against a control deck and not the aggro deck. So this has like a I drew the wrong half of my deck problem.
Okay.
But a lot of the cards fill a lot of different purposes. Graveyard Bone Crusher Giant has that stomp ability for 2 mana that can it can be a tool to control your opponent's aggro board, but it can also be a 3-mana 4/3 creature against a control opponent. So it can fill a lot of different roles and is very versatile in that way. And it's also playing one of my favorite cards in any format, really, is Fable of the Mirrorbreaker. The 3-mana saga that makes a 2/2 that when it attacks, it makes a treasure token. And then on the second piece of the saga, discards up to 2 cards and draws that many cards. So you can really play it in a lot of different decks, filters your draws. If you are playing against a control deck and you draw your removal spells, you can discard the removal spells that you don't need in this matchup and draw into other cards and potentially draw into cards that are better against the control deck. So one of the better cards. And it also, on the third chapter of Fable of the Mirrorbreaker, turns into a card called Reflection of Kiki-Jiki that can use that ability at instant speed to copy another non-legendary creature you control to really grind the value. If you don't stop the Rakdos midrange cards, they will outgrind you super fast. Chandra, Torture, Defiance, and Soren the Mirthless will really get the card advantage out of hand if you don't really deal with them. So it combines cards that you really kind of have to remove unless you or else you'll lose, and it also will do a really good job at stopping the game plan that you want to use.
For sure.
We have another deck here that's might be a little bit similar to the Angels deck, because this one also plays Collected Company, but it's kind of a little bit more of a mid-range deck than just a pure aggro deck, even though this deck could definitely kill you on turn 4 of the game, because I've lost to it on turn 4 of the game before. This is an Abzan Humans deck. So there's a lot of humans that you wouldn't really think are humans, including some werewolves, like Outland Liberator, also a human. Thalia's Lieutenant is a card that is a 2-mana 1/1 that when it enters the battlefield puts a +1/+1 counter on every human you control. And also, every subsequent human that you play after that also gives Thalia's Lieutenant itself another +1/+1 counter. Brutal Cathar has a really good interaction point. Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, is really good at interacting with your opponent. This one's going to be the aggro deck that interacts with your opponent. Unlike the Angels deck that we talked about before, General Kudro of Dranith can exile cards out of your opponent's graveyard, so it does a good job at pressuring your opponent while also interacting with them to make it really annoying to deal with. This deck will lose to a Wrath of God or some kind of spell that would wrath the board, but it can come back in the game with Collected Company and put a bunch of creatures on the battlefield at the same time. It plays an artifact called Pyre of Heroes, which you don't see a lot in any format, but it's kind of like if you know what Birthing Pod is, mm-hmm. It's kind of, you pay 2 mana for this Pyre of Heroes card, it's an artifact, and then you can pay 2 mana and sacrifice a human to put another human from your deck onto the battlefield with 1 mana value higher. So you can really filter through your humans to really find the right one for whichever scenario that you're in.
Mm-hmm. So you're basically able to just go toolbox here, find whatever you need, and just drop it on the field, for the most part.
Exactly. That's why you have like such a little amount of four ofs. This deck has like two ofs, three ofs, and things, because you can find them with Pyre of Heroes anyway. Mm-hmm. And we have a few more decks to go over here that I think are the most popular ones, but this one is probably, I would say, I'm actually surprised it's not one of the most popular. I think this is the second best deck in Explorer, is Esper Grease Fang. A lot of people say it's like Esper Vehicles. It's centered around putting a card called Parhelion the Second on the battlefield. It's an 8-mana vehicle that's flying, first strike, and vigilance. And whenever Parhelion the Second attacks, you make 2/4/4 white angel creature tokens with flying and vigilance that are also attacking. And itself is a 5/5 flying, first strike, vigilance. So what do you do to get this powerful card on the battlefield? You have to get it in the graveyard somehow, and then cast Grease Fang. If you don't know what Grease Fang does, it is a creature that is a 4/3. It came out in the not this past set before.
Kamigawa, Neon Dynasty.
Kamigawa, yes. At the beginning of combat on your turn, return target vehicle card from your graveyard to the battlefield. So you already have that on that 5/5 on the battlefield from the graveyard if you can get it there. It gains haste, and then return it to the owner's hand at the beginning of your next end step. So you're going to get that 8-mana vehicle with haste. And the cool thing about Parhelion the Second is the crew cost for it is 4. And how much power does Grease Fang have? 4.
4.
So on turn 1 or 2, you get to the graveyard, whether you're milling it or whether you are discarding it with cards like Ledger Shredder, Raffian Skimming Seer, even plays Kaido Shizuki, that Planeswalker as well from Kamigawa that can discard cards. Can look at the top card of your graveyard and put it in the graveyard or draw it. If you hit that Parhelion off the Consider and dump it into the graveyard and draw your Grease Fang and cast it, this deck will win on turn 3 of the game almost every single time unless your opponent gets rid of Grease Fang first or gets rid of that Parhelion before it can attack you. Because if Grease Fang comes down and Parhelion can attack you, that's 13 damage that you're taking, and the 4/4 angels get to stay on the battlefield to attack you next turn. So you do the 13 damage right away, the angels stay there, and if you can't get rid of the angels, then the angels attack you for 8, and that's 21 damage, and you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
But this deck can also take a mid-range game plan. If Parhelion the Second gets exiled from the graveyard with something like a Graveyard Trespasser, or if Grease Fang gets killed by something like an Abrade, Infernal Grass, something like that, or an instant speed removal spell, this deck can also pivot into a mid-range game plan, winning the game with Ledger Shredder and Raffian and Kaido, and removing some of your opponent's creatures and countering some spells with cards like Spell Pierce or Fatal Push and Thoughtseize to get the removal out of the way in order to enact the game plan. So this deck can kind of operate on two different axes and really hurt your opponent a lot. When you play against this deck, you have to worry about the combo. You have to worry about Grease Fang, Parhelion the Second. But as soon as you worry about that too much, you'll die to Ledger Shredder plus Raffian.
Yep. Nothing wrong with some Esper beats right there, honestly.
Yep, for sure. This is definitely a scary deck, and a deck that if you're trying to get into Explorer format, you should definitely consider, no pun intended, but you should definitely build your deck around either killing Grease Fang or making sure that Parhelion the Second doesn't come out of the graveyard.
All right. Yeah, so now that we've talked about half of a dozen decks here from the decklist database on mtggoldfish.com, how about we wrap up here by talking about kind of your favorite off-meta deck, or, you know, a deck you've seen that you really enjoyed, maybe you haven't played, but is something you kind of want to give a shout-out to.
Oh my gosh, it has to be my second favorite card ever printed is Niv-Mizzet Reborn. It isn't a tier 1 deck, but you can make it. It can play a lot of the good cards. It can play Hydroid Krasis. It can play Omnath, Locus of Creation, that 4-mana Omnath. It can play Tulsimir, Friend of Wolves, Growth Spiral, a lot of removal spells, even play Sweepers. It's a 5-color deck, so you can literally just build it any way you want to. And Niv-Mizzet Reborn, if you're a Commander player, you definitely know what this card is. It's a 5-mana 6/6 flyer dragon. When it enters the battlefield, reveal the top 10 cards of your library for each color pair. So it can't be 3 colors, it can be 2 colors. Add exactly one of those to your hand. So you can get up to 10 cards off of this card. You can add a Boros card, and a Simic card, and a Dimir card, and you get one of each of those cards. and then put them in your hand and the rest of them in the bottom of the library in a random order. So the goal of the deck is to cast a big Niv-Mizzet Reborn. It's a 6-6 flyer already, but then you get to add a bunch of spells to your hand and overwhelm your opponent with card advantage and really powerful cards. The only problem with this deck is it's 5 colors, and you have to build your mana base very carefully around it. But it is definitely one of my favorite cards and the most satisfying cards to resolve and just get a huge hand when it enters the battlefield. This isn't the most competitive deck in the format, because we're still missing cards that are in the Pioneer format. It's way better in Pioneer because we're missing a couple cards for it. But once we get those cards into Explorer, it will definitely be Tier 1 for a little bit, if not stay Tier 1.
All right, sounds good. So yeah, I mean, really to wrap up the episode here, could you just kind of give the lowdown on why everyone out there listening to this episode right here should give Explorer a try?
You should definitely give Explorer the try, even if it's just to get a little bit of a fresh air from Standard or something else that you're already playing. It's not the most, it's not the best format to get into on Arena if you're first starting, because there are a lot of lands and everything that are rares and require rare wildcards. This is more of a format that if you're already kind of into Arena a little bit, or if you want to spend a little bit of money to get the rare wildcards to build these decks, there are a couple of budget ones if you want to as well. Like that Angels deck is pretty budget. You can build that one almost right away. This format is definitely something on Arena that you can't find anywhere else, even in Paper Magic. It will eventually be Pioneer in Paper. Pioneer is a format that's not as powerful as Modern, or even higher powered Commander, not as powerful as those, but it's also a little bit more higher power level than Standard. So if you're looking for that happy medium between, I think Modern is super broken, is super good, I think it's just, it costs $1,000 for a deck. It's definitely not that. It's a little bit less powerful than that, but it gives you a little bit of a higher power level and satisfying nature than Standard can give you.
All right, you heard it here first, everybody. If you want to give Explorer a try, download MTG Arena, either go through the wildcard system or purchase the wildcards, et cetera, and try some of these decks out for yourself. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to join me today. Obviously, we talked, we first met at DreamHack, and it's great to finally be able to get you on the show.
Yeah, super, I've been waiting to do this for a long time. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm looking forward to see what people think about this format, and have people let me know if they tried it themselves. It's super fun.
Yeah, no problem. At some point, I think I'm going to have to get you on here to talk about EDH, though, and obviously, since this is still mostly an EDH podcast, I think, you know, got to just kind of see where you're sitting there, too, so, yeah.
Yes, I do. I do have a lot of things to talk about EDH. I have a really cool Kenrith deck that I like to play.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have to talk about that again at some point. And again, where can people find the content that you do on the internet?
You can find me by looking up The One Jame on YouTube, The One Jame on Twitch, and The One Jame, TheOneJame on Twitter. I make a lot of really bad dad jokes and everything like that. I mean, just like you do, MTG in quarantine, right? yes, if you like Standard Best of One content, follow me on those. If you want to follow me in general, you can definitely follow me on Twitter at TheOneJame.
All right, sounds good. And if you'd like to hear any of the previous episodes that I've done here on the MTG in Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets as your Googles, Apples, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Breaker, MTG Cast, and a million others. I don't remember all of them. But hey, if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find me on there. Probably also find me on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine. I'd like to utilize this opportunity to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So another huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Infamous Fridge, Nick S, Frugal Brutal, Jenna the Filthy, MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, Geek Beardly, and Scoop Faze for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And again, I am going to be at Command Fest Bellevue next week in Bellevue, Washington. If you are going to be there, make sure to drop by, say hi, and hopefully get yourself a sweet custom human token. I have them. I'll be there hopefully most of the weekend, so definitely drop by and say hi. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.